Hello, Russell.
Oh, hi again, Christine. How are you?
It's almost been like 3 podcasts in 1 month. What are we doing? I am good. It's National Truth and Reconciliation Day.
Correct. September 30th.
Yes. And we have an exciting guest today. It's Sheila Gordon Payne, who is running for city council.
Very welcome. Exciting. Hello. How are you, Hello. Sheila?
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So you just said my name. I've been in the community for about 35 years. I came from Ontario, and I came here after working and traveling in a few other provinces and 2 other territories. And when I came to Prince Rupert, every place we went, when we did a tour, we looked at all the healthcare facilities. And when I came to Prince Rupert, that nurse in charge told me what an incredible place this was, and it was a beautiful day, and I was hooked. Nice. I came back. We stayed. Yeah.
Got the hard sell.
I got the hard sell and the soft sell and the environment sell, the community sell.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? People were welcoming and friendly, and it just felt like a place you could make home.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right on.
And I never forgot that. And so I traveled through quickly once and came back and stayed and worked and then stayed for good. Yeah.
And was your plan to stay for 2 years, like everyone else in Prince Rupert?
My plan was initially to stay for 2 years so I could prove I could hold a job.
Oh, I see.
Because I'd been traveling all over, so that I'd have to show people that I'm not just a, you know, fly by night. I'll work here for 2 years and go.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been 35.
Yeah. And like many, you work here for 2 and then something hooks you further.
Right.
And you stay.
Nice. Very cool. So what did you, or what... Are you working now, or what are you doing?
Yeah, I initially came here to work, and I work at the hospital. I've always worked in healthcare, and I'm still working in healthcare.
Okay.
And what I've found that just working in a smaller city is that I've shaken that up. So most or many of the healthcare jobs in our community, I've done at one time or another.
Okay.
And so, and right now I happen to have been back at the hospital, and when people come to the hospital, they say, "Oh, we thought you retired." No, I've been here all along.
So what is your role at the hospital then?
Right now I'm working in the intensive care emergency department.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I thought I'd go there for 2 years, but I went right before COVID.
Oh my.
And we're all committed there, right?
Right,
we're working
hard
there, so I've just stayed there.
Wow. Like, you never hear anyone say, "I think I'll work in the intensive care unit for a little while." Like, you know what I mean? So willingly, but I think that's really, wow, that's amazing. Yeah.
Well, and I've done courses, like you do all your courses. And so then it just means for me to go in and out of those spots like that, the OR or critical care. You just, like I know the two of you do, you just study and put your head down and fill your head again with all the knowledge you need.
Wow.
And then do your best.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. We like having you there.
On a good day.
So you're running for city council.
Yes.
What are some of the things that you want to see happen with city council?
Well,
it's a big question.
It
a big
is a
loaded
huge
question.
Question. It's a huge question. And I guess, and it's always interesting because there's so many things we want and not everything will be within our control or our power, especially as the politician part of council, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I believe is that when I'm going to tell you about areas, is that what the city has is their ability to put their relationships that they have, their ability to invite people to a table, and then to lobby for our community. I believe that's a big piece of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And then really think about, you know, okay, who are we working for, which is our community members, and make sure we're nailing it for the community,
right?
And not just at one level, but at all levels. So
like collaborative, very collaborative.
Yeah. And that's our job. I think that's our job as all part of this. And so when I look at that and I look around, you know, the recent things that have come into play, and I say recent, you know, in the last few years, but we, you know, so what I've said is, like, we've got good plans. We've got an official community plan that we hadn't had since 2007. We've got the new Vision 2030 as a document to work with. We, you know, budget is the big topic right now, and that's always been an issue for cities.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got budget. Then, of course, you've already asked me a bit about my work in healthcare. Healthcare Is our city livable? It attracted me. What keeps the two of you here? How do we attract others? Mm-hmm. And then the last one, the another hot spot right now is housing and housing at all levels.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Wow.
So that's really, I think that cover, if there's something that comes to my mind that I would like to see different, I can always usually slot it into one of those areas. Right. Those are kind of the motherhood areas.
Like maybe, I don't know, like, do you feel like that would spread yourself too thin if you tried to cover all of that? Or do you just concentrate on one aspect and then work with the others? Like for housing, and then you're talking about relationships. So how would you, maybe I'm not wording this properly, but like...
Balance it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're saying it in a great way because... When you're running a campaign, you do split it out, but really when as a representative of the city, and that's why I began with the plans, when I've been most successful, it's when I've had something, okay, we're looking to achieve this, and we make sure that people have all participated, we're on the right track, and then you work toward getting that accomplished.
Right.
And so most of those other things, all that you'll see them represented in the official community plan or in our vision.
So goal-orientated, collaborative.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then timeline some of this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so
I think that's the key is, and Chris Thompson talked about that too, like, you know, we need a timeline. Like we need to know when some of these things are going to happen, especially like with the housing. Like we just pulled up and we were like, what's going on with the housing right here?
Yeah,
you know, and
like the development on Drake that we approved in 2017,
yeah.
It's 42 units that our community is wanting, expecting and approved. And so now if that's not happening, we're 5-6 years later, what can we do? Is there something that the role the city could play or our community could play in helping that move forward?
So kind of like just if someone comes to you and say, hey, what's going on with this letter over here? You can say, well, I don't really know, but I can get back to you.
Totally.
Or kind of like let's work
towards this.
Because
that's a public... approval.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so an update. So where is this at? And if we don't know as city leaders and our staff, between the city and the staff, okay, let's find out. So that we do have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other piece of all of this is that with this information, and I keep referring to the plans, that's 300 pages, those two documents.
Right.
Now I'm not thinking that many in our community have read that, and I wouldn't expect them to.
Right, right.
But when I went looking, I did think, okay, where is my summary or my Cole's notes?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be one of the first things I would want for both of those documents.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for this, you know, this is where we're headed. These are the 8 things, even the bullets like that we could share.
Mm-hmm.
And if people say that it's been shared, then okay, how are we missing people?
Yeah. How do you make it more accessible?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
understandable or tangible?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just word soup.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now, is this your first time running for council?
No, it's not my first time running for council. It's it's my third time running for city council, and I did do one run for the mayor.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, which was a big thing for me.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So I did 2 terms on council and finished that in 2008-2009, and then I needed to take some time off just with work and family because I've always worked.
Yeah.
And then something in my head had always made me want to run for mayor. I thought I had something to offer.
Sure.
And now our community made a wise choice, did something else, and there's Mayor Lee Brain, who has done a great job for these 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's wonderful.
So who was the mayor under that you were working under?
2 different mayors, Mayor Herb Pond and Mayor Jack Masalem.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I've seen different styles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Worked with different people, and then I thought, you know, really, I felt happy and productive as a team member on what I could add, and I did the thing I always wanted. I don't know why I ever wanted to run for mayor, but I did. Mm-hmm. And so I did.
Everyone wants to run for
mayor. And I was happy I did it. Even people didn't even want to talk to me about it because they thought, oh, bad outcome. And it was kind of like silence after. But that was okay for me. Yeah. I gave it what I was able to give it as a working professional in the community.
Right.
I was proud and so happy with all the people that helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't win every time. And even if I am encouraging and suggesting that people vote for me as a member of council. But if I didn't get in, there's something about participating in our community at all levels that's hugely energizing.
Right.
And I recommend it to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I really see, like, maybe not this time around, but or maybe it's just more out there, like with other people who are running, they're like, thank you so-and-so for helping me. So, like a member that's on council already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Is helping someone who's trying to get on council set up signs and stuff like that. So that's something you really don't see. Because it's like a competition, you know? Like,
So
I think it's great, you know?
I feel like there's a welcoming situation, too, where, like, you know, we have an opportunity for some more women to be on city council. And
thank you.
And there's some diversity, right? Yeah. And so hopefully those conversations going forward, you know, it's changing up because the population of Prince Rupert has changed, you know, and we have this social media accountability now where, you know, you're talking about being transparent and how to talk to the public. And I think the public demands more, right? They want an answer right now. They don't want an answer for 4 months from now. So it's exciting. I think it's going to be a real, really good race.
I mean, the economy is different from then to now. So,
Talking about changes within the city, we have a real homelessness problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's very evident when you're driving through Prince Rupert. What do you think the answer is, or what do you think we need to do as a city to address it, or city council's role in addressing it?
Mm-hmm. And absolutely, we, like some, well, I'd say almost all communities you go through now have struggle for and with people who are experiencing homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just where our society is at right now. And so I think that the city plays, and many organizations and community members all play a role. There is no easy answer.
Mm-hmm.
But in my, not only in my field of work, but also as I drive around town, as I walk around town, I think about, okay, that the people experiencing homelessness, the lack of having that most basic thing in your life, warmth, food, shelter, water, that's an outcome of other things. And so how do we address those outcomes? And it's outcomes, whether there are some people who suffer from mental health issues, some people who have been unemployed for whatever reason unexpectedly and don't have a recovery net.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, one of the determinants of health, I've been speaking about that, is just childhood experiences, people that haven't been able to recover and live in our world as we perceive you should because of childhood experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And then people that we all know now in the north, certainly substance misuse, whether it is alcohol or narcotics, is a huge issue for us. So to me, those are all the things you need to counsel. I mean, you need to address as a council. And again, that's our power to bring people to a table, to make sure we're doing everything we can. And I'll get to that in a minute if you bring me back to that. But I think that we can do that too, and so that means the education in the schools. How do we all identify people at risk that might be going to school, or people we see at our work, or just all those different things, and how do we move forward? Our detox facilities can be hours away by road.
Yeah, and we talked about that's a real barrier.
Even getting someone on the bus or on a plane to get to help, and waiting one more day to get there can make or break a situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all of those things, so then the city can be pushing for, you know, in our home base, we can push for, okay, this wonderful, we're building the spots and the wraparound shelter at the old raffle site at Five Corners. You know, will there be enough spaces for that kind of population that, you know, that has that grows and backs off, grows. Mm-hmm. So, and is, and will it suit everyone's needs? So we can look at things like that as a city. Mm-hmm. And when the shelters are full, what's our plan B? Mm-hmm. Like, I very much admired Kitimat a couple of years ago when they opened council chambers when there was a space, space crisis.
Yeah.
And there's a space crisis in our town. People look to healthcare or the RCMP, right. And both of those are the wrong places for people.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So to spend the night, and then, you know, I talk about unemployment. It's pretty hard to pull yourself together I could likely say that better, but for people just to be able to dress and feel ready for the simplest, an interview or put in an online application or get a good night's sleep.
Access to.
All of that. Mm-hmm. How do we improve that as our local community? Mm-hmm. What are our local things we could do here to help people?
Yeah.
So I roll all that around in my head. And then I try and break it out. Okay, what is a city possible thing? And how could the city also work to bring people to a larger table and have a group discussion? Because it's too easy to say, we're not the solution. Well, none of us are the solution, but together we could be a much better solution. Mm-hmm. And our town is a good size for that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? We're not huge.
Right.
And I'll just say one more thing about not being huge. When large numbers of people or even small groups are living in the same place on a street and you hear about cities trying to move them, I think that happens because they find community.
Right.
They find people that they feel safe with, that someone near you can trust. And you don't get that in a shelter, and you might not be ready for an apartment, and we might not have the housing for that. So what could we do that helps people create community, whether it's increased sheltered spaces of all sorts of types? I don't know the answers.
Right. I think a lot of things it comes down to the population, kind of the challenges would be not in my backyard. Perfect example is the building on 11th, which I believe was that a halfway house, or
I think it's apartments, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's apartments. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But just the notion that we're gonna have apartments here,
specifically
affordable
not subset, but you know what I mean, for people.
Yeah.
And then a lot of those neighbors were like, hey. We don't want this in our yard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I think that's one of the biggest challenges that anyone would have to go up against. So.
Yeah. And I think that again, back to the Vision 2030 or the community plan, how do we encourage and what control can we have to make sure that neighborhoods are blended?
Right.
And that we don't judge people by current circumstances.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right? Good or bad. Right?
Yeah.
We're not judging each other. We're accepting that we're a neighborhood, that I might make a relationship with Christine, whether our lives look similar or opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we trust each other, we can develop common things together. And that's what that's what blended neighborhoods could do. Right.
Sure. From your time as your counselor before to your time now to get back on council, what are you trying to bring to council that you weren't able to bring previously? If that makes any sense.
No, I would say previously that we still struggle to have a budget that is sufficient enough to do all we need for infrastructure. The roads and water issues we are working on today, and finally actively working on some of those today, like a new water line, which has still got lots of work to be done.
Right.
Everyone knew about, we've known about those for years. This old structure built with old materials that's falling apart.
Yeah.
And it is, and our town isn't getting quieter on top of all of the infrastructure and what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Our town's flourishing, which I am thankful every day for, right?
Mm-hmm.
In many ways, our town is flourishing.
Right.
For other small cities, some are not so fortunate. But yeah, so being able to deal with the budget and actually keep infrastructure moving forward and without having to put the burden on residential, like on small residents and sure. small business.
Right.
Because that's 2/3 of a budget is tax, city mm-hmm. tax. So then working on the other third to see how we can bring in more that way, which the city has certainly done some good work on. There's still some possibilities there.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, getting back to, if you want to get back to how taxes are allotted or shared, then doing our work with government. And that's what the big port issue right now is, mm-hmm. what was expected, what's occurring, and how do we resolve that? Because I don't think anyone quite expected the mess we're in now,
right.
and that we need to go back to government. And thank goodness our MLA and many people seem well aware of that.
Right.
I would like us to be able to go hand in hand with the port to say that to government.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel that's our way to the future, is that we have, you know, the businesses and the port paying taxes so we can make the changes and, you know, do the stuff that we need to do. And around the city, and especially with the roads and the water supply, like I don't know how we cannot not do it, you know, and then hope maybe other businesses will be coming in too, like as the port expands and we, you know, keep going forward. But it is hard, especially with the housing combined and the taxes, and you don't want them to not participate, I guess.
Right.
That's a very opinionated point. But
you might need a whole interview on that.
Yeah. But I just see, you know, like we travel to Kitimat where for hockey, where LNG is, and you know, you see what's happening in the community where they have some really great recreational sites for the public and they're participating, and it's a very busy town, and so is Prince Rupert. Like, we're becoming that. So I think we have to take care of our city too, right?
Yeah.
Because it's falling apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that takes us back to livability and how we attract, how we get more people that don't just want to pass through here or fly up here to work.
Mm-hmm.
They think, oh, I'd like to live here.
Right.
I'd like, mm-hmm. you know, I'd like to stay here.
Mm-hmm. So my other big question that I have for you is, how will you balance it all? Like, you are working in emergency and then city council. Like, how, what do you do to balance your life and the stress? Like, how do you spend your time?
How do you disconnect?
How do I disconnect? Well, first thing for me is I am better. I enjoy life more. I feel I am at my best more when I am doing something.
Right.
Like my career is built on service. I like to volunteer. I like to do all those things. That gives me energy.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the less I do, the less I do. So if I start doing less, pretty soon it day has gone. And I think, what the heck did
those
I...
Those are my best days.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and sometimes they can be, but like, and like, look, at I'm not getting any younger. I can't afford to have a lot of days just go by. And
yeah.
What did I do all day?
Right.
But at any rate, that, so we're just joking now. But for me, there's, you know, there's certainly, I think lots of people probably see that I run in town, you know, 2-3-4 times a week with
mm-hmm.
our dog. We have close friends in town and out of town, you know, and we, you know, there's the running group in town, we ski. So exercise is a thing for
sure.
me,
mm-hmm.
because that gives me good headspace. And then our kids, we've got 4 kids, we come and go with them in town. Like
mm-hmm.
Some are in town, some are out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to, well, I'm trying to think of things that as I look toward slowing down at work, how else would I like to contribute? What would I like to do? Including this podcasting experience is a pretty neat experience
yeah,
to sit
yeah.
through
yeah.
with you guys.
Yeah.
So all of that. And then, you know, I even listen for de-stressing and stuff. And again, maybe because I'm in healthcare, but I do something as simple as every night I listen to it's a 10-minute little... It's not a podcast, but it's an app, like an app that de-stresses and just lets you pick a theme or a topic, and it just absolutely lets you let go of your day and go to bed.
Nice. That's awesome.
To work-life balance, routine, giving back.
Yeah.
Tasks.
Yeah.
Endless tasks.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, not endless tasks, because you don't want to just be busy, right?
And that's
what my friends and we talk a lot about. It's not just about being busy. It's about how does that make you feel? How do you contribute? Mm-hmm. So those kinds of things.
Wow.
So.
That's wild.
What do you think the voter turnout will be like?
That's a really good question, Christine.
This year, because I think at the last election, I was a bit shocked at how many actually voted. And it felt low to me. Like, I don't remember the exact numbers. But what are you doing to get people out there?
Well, the first thing I'm doing is I'm asking everyone I see to go out and vote. And of all ages. And because of, and I think partly because of that last election. And I'm not sure what that was about, why we didn't get a big turnout. And at one point I thought, oh, it must have been when COVID started, but it was before then. Yeah. So I don't know what was going on and in the world. I did like when at the federal level, we were just trying to change the voting age to 16. Right. And I see that has been defeated. And I'm kind of disappointed in that, because I think... Right. If we can drive when we're 16, maybe we should be supporting kids in the school system like anything else. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a way to have your voice heard in a democracy. Let's, you know, however that looks. I kind of thought that might be an opportunity. So I'm just asking people, trying to get the word out, and hoping that because we have a slate of 12, that shows good participation, and that maybe even by having that so high, that maybe voter turnout will be higher.
Right, because I think like the last time, for sure, without the mayor position being contested, people were like, oh, let's just keep on going.
We're good.
we're good, they got it, they're still doing their thing, let them go or whatever, but... Mm-hmm. You know, and
we've got kind of a couple hot button issues in both in our city and in the province. So we have money is a hot button issue, like budget at all levels, and housing. And so maybe that will get people to make choices with their ballot.
Right. So given your profession, and actually to like some of the other candidates' kind of background, I think it's really awesome that being in healthcare would definitely benefit council temperament-wise. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you're temperamented. You can't lose your crap, or maybe you do, at your work, but you know what I mean? So, like, I mean, with Terry Forrester, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher
mm-hmm.
Thompson.
Yeah.
Like, being in education. Like, all of these people where I'm kind of, like, cognizant of where they come from work-wise. I think it's hopefully that brings, and people see that. Hopefully people see that.
Yeah.
That could bring that.
Because it gives us more ability to hear and reflect what we hear in our community.
Right. Mm-hmm. And not just lip service or pass the buck or all these other red tape kind of.
You see the results of the decisions you're making, you see, and you're as you live here and as you work here, you see that everywhere you turn, right?
So, right.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that the students that I work with talk about, and, you know, they're like grade 9 to grade 12, is sometimes they feel like there's barriers to accessing healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we do, and it's around like supports and stuff like that, but just teaching the kids to advocate for themselves. Like, if you need to go to the doctor or you want to get vaccinated, or we will go with you, or how can we make the road easier for you? I feel like that is a role of city council too, is making the roads easier and more accessible. I don't really have a question around this, but what are some of the barriers that you see, like, in your job, like in healthcare, and how do you think we can reduce them?
And again, that, you know, not directly with the city, but with the city as a member at a table, I think that, what's your question again, Christine?
I don't know, it's confusing. Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, how can we continue to reduce barriers? Like, you were talking about communication, and I actually think that that's something that does need to improve, you know, because I don't see enough communication coming out of city council. Okay.
Oh, no, and again, city council can push, and I congratulate Jen Rice, our MLA, and Northern Health for putting on that healthcare forum a few weeks ago that tried to get more information out to the community on what was going on, because there was some misinformation there, and I think some new knowledge that was shared, and then they're both able to hear what the community members think. But I think communication plays a huge role, and I appreciate that people, well, anything that gets larger, whether you're trying to navigate the city's processes or whether you're trying to navigate healthcare's processes, it's easy for people to get lost. Even when you work within those systems, they're hard to navigate. You know, my mom was sick in Ontario. I could not imagine how someone that wasn't in the field could manage what we had to manage, right? And I worry about people here, and I try and help friends here as they navigate wherever their relative might be on how they navigate systems. And so I think that communication plays a big role. I think that's, you know, the more we can all play roles, and okay, who can act as a navigator for who? We have some navigation in healthcare locally, but that doesn't reach everyone, right? And at the same time, again, communication, asking people and saying, I'm not hearing about this. And so I'll tell you right now, just even in my world, we're at the hospital, we're trying to campaign to get more information out on the Northern Health virtual community and primary care line, where you can have your doctor's appointment by phone or video, and you can get your prescription, and you can get, you don't have to go to anyone else.
I always forget about it too.
Yeah.
Like,
and if people knew they could do that call instead of 5 hours in our lobby and still perhaps get sent somewhere else.
Right.
So again, so just like with the city, we keep working on those things.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And I can't speak for healthcare, but I can, but I was looking that up again the other day. Okay, the primary care, the online number for a friend, right?
Yeah.
So, and the more I know, the more I'm informed as a counselor about these different services, the more I can share them out with the people that
bring it to the table.
And the last thing I would say about communication and bringing people together is that often we bring together the tops of organizations kind of to help figure this out. And again, a lesson I've learned from involving patients as partners is, like, we need to, I don't know how many people that are currently experiencing homelessness we've actually included at a table to talk about what we need in our community with the people that can make the difference.
Right.
Like, why aren't we side by side?
Yeah.
Right. I don't know.
Right. What kind of role does social media play for you personally and for your campaign to city council?
Well, for my campaign for city council, it's playing more of a role than it's ever played for me personally.
Okay.
Because when you talk about how do you balance life, so social media, with the hours I have in a day, I haven't engaged in a number of the different social media applications.
Right.
But I know for campaign that's important. So I've been working on that. And I take advantage of friends and colleagues who have that experience.
Right.
So it's played a big role that way. I continue to think that it can play a role for the, just taking it back to council, for the city. But then I also, think, who don't we reach? You know, my mom doesn't use, my mom has never had a cell phone, has never used the computer. She just gets the crank, you know, the soliciting calls every day. And watches CNN.
Right.
That's her media of all things.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking here, so do we look at a podcast for Prince Rupert for the city? Do we look at Do we look at even paper-based updates that go out with the mail? Do we look at radio? Mm-hmm. And again, that would be asking people what, you know, how can we identify who aren't we reaching?
Right.
Especially if we go to move on with big things like Vision 2030. We have to reach people.
Well, I think that's the biggest, that could potentially be the biggest kind of hurdle for you, because there's such an age range, and each age has their own favorite medium. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, like my parents love TV,
mm-hmm.
paper, the phone.
Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, it's my phone. It's mm-hmm. my, you know, my apps. Twitter. Twitter's
mm-hmm.
huge for me. Same
mm-hmm.
with Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Younger people, I can't believe I said younger people, are
like
TikTok,
Snapchat.
Yeah, TikTok,
yeah.
Twitch bound. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, they're so,
mm-hmm.
like, Jagmeet Singh is huge presence on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I think that's really helped him.
Yeah.
Like, in
mm-hmm.
a huge way, he's reached an audience that he wouldn't be able to basically communicate with, because it's that immediate interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's him or one of his assistants. Who's
no,
to say?
Totally. And I think that is a role of a city, is to get it out at all levels.
Right.
And probably we can't do that with one middle-aged person in the role,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
I do wonder about
that.
Like a youth voice too at
totally.
city council.
Totally.
Like
yeah.
I don't know what the rules are around that, but even inviting, you know, a student from Charles Hayes, or
right.
they have I can't think of the name of the club now, but they have quite an active student council, and you know, it would be neat to have like the student voice at city council
yeah.
to
yeah.
to bring that back to that age group, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah.
And if we could even employ students, and this is not a counselor role, but as a, but council can suggest things like this, but employ students in the summer to do specifically
right.
things like this.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
they can work on campaigns like that.
Yeah.
Under, you know, with our people that do it. Take
mm-hmm.
advantage of grants or whatever we have to
like
to
the Port hire students.
Yeah, they hire like 5 or 6
yeah,
students.
Yeah.
yeah.
We did that at the Nishka Society for a couple of years
yeah.
and
yeah.
Yeah, no, mm. I can totally see that.
Yeah.
Like,
or internships
and
too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. And or someone that's retired, right? Do you want some part-time work?
Like a mentorship.
Yeah, and give us, and then make sure we fill in the spots we're missing so that people hear it and they can not only get information, but they continue to want to live here. Back
right.
to
mm-hmm.
that again.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of people that move.
Yeah. I also think it's important too, like, I really appreciated Prince George City's Facebook page last winter. They were quite funny. They were quite humorous about the snow and potholes. Like one of their, they sent out like a social media post about snow removal. And I think the tagline was snow, it's not our fault.
Right.
And like just reminding people to,
right.
you know, to deal
be,
with their driveways and
be patient.
And be patient. And then they did another one around potholes. And it was something like, potholes, we don't make them. They just happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that would be neat too, you know, to
yeah.
spin the humor a bit, you know, as a city and instead of everyone just complaining, because
mm-hmm.
that is a mm-hmm. big part too, is, you know, listening to people's complaints
mm-hmm.
about what we're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So what are you doing today? There's a walk today from 12 to 4 for
yeah.
National...
Truth
and reconciliation.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
so
shouldn't be one day, but
yes,
whatever.
Yes. I feel like I got 2 days out of it because we celebrated
well,
it yesterday with school.
We had a week, like,
mm-hmm.
with our organization, we had, like...
I saw that.
The
all,
week-long
yes.
activities, which, again, is really heavy and really sad
yeah.
at some point.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know, you really just
yeah.
have to cover yourself.
No,
make sure
and,
you're okay.
And totally well done, though. Like...
Yeah, yeah.
I was really pleased.
It was
to
collaboration
see that.
With the Friendship House, Changemaker Society, and Subrate Our Programs and Services Manager,
yeah.
Sabrina
mm-hmm.
Clifton.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. yeah. Some of the schools did it too. They did
yeah.
week-long
yeah.
Events. Talking about it, which I think has really changed since we were in school,
right?
Right. You know?
Like,
yeah.
oh, the other thing I wanted to, sorry, just this just popped in my head. 4 years ago, we had our first recording.
Oh, really? Today?
Yeah, yeah. With
oh.
Ashley.
Oh, happy anniversary. Yeah. Here we are 4 years later. Yeah, yeah. If we would make it that way. But yeah.
Sorry, that just popped in my head and I just had to say it before I forgot.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So I guess you have 2 weeks to go for the great race. Is that right?
Yeah.
Rose October 1st.
Is there another all candidates?
Another all candidates supported by the BC Labour Council, by the local Labour Council.
Okay.
That'll be on Tuesday at Charles Hayes.
Okay, in the multi-purpose room?
Yes.
Hopefully they'll have more than one mic.
Are you talking about the session? In hindsight on that, I thought...
All the switching around, I was like,
Wipe the mic down.
My hand sanitizer. Yeah.
You're like spitting into the mic and passing it forward.
But you know, when as a person that's there, as a candidate, you're so tense.
You just go
into it. I
didn't
even think
about
that, and that's been so much of my world. I thought, if I get sick after this, that'll be...
So crazy.
Yes.
But yeah, hopefully it's a good one for you on the 4th. Is that when it is?
It is the day, because there's a council meeting on the 3rd, so it's the next day.
Okay.
So that it fits in, and yeah, come on, people can come out and hear more. And that's a nice environment. That's a nice place to have a session. And
I think less formal than like the Performing Arts Center, which is like hoity-toity and we're on a stage, or you know what I mean? Less accessible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, and if people do come then, or if they have any questions for me, like about budget, again, because that's just so big in our community and people are worried right now, and also about housing for all age. I'm hearing people of having wanting to stay here when they retire, but not knowing where to how to downsize, and then the whole idea of people that are experiencing homeless, or how we build our core neighborhoods instead of split them up.
Right.
You know.
For sure.
Yeah. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you know if it's going to be live streamed?
I cannot answer that question.
Okay.
We will find out.
Yes.
And people can find you on Instagram.
They can find me on Instagram or on Facebook at Sheila Gordon Payne for council.
Okay.
They can find me on the internet at Sheila Gordon Payne for council spelled out .ca.
Awesome.
I know. That's just the way it worked.
Yeah.
Or you can just phone me. 250-627 VOTE. That's my phone number.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we wish you all the best
in your
race for city council. And
this is very exciting that we're actually able to talk to people who are potentially running, or, you know, just to get to know them better, because I think that's one of the biggest things is I had no idea who Christopher Thompson was until we actually sat down with them.
And that's the thing in our community, and sometimes what you think about someone isn't really what's right. And thank you too, and I like your podcast, and the flurry of new shows.
Thanks for coming.
Let me just make sure, how do I stop it? Oh, there it is.